in this busy age, Sunday to Sunday? Why? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is the answer. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The command and commission of Christ for His church to be witnesses here at home and to the uttermost parts of the earth at the same time. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. No, that's why we support missionaries. Amen? We can't, the law of physics still holds true. We can't be two places at once, let alone in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Four places all at once. In 2014, think about these statistics, folks. There are 7,156,000,000 living souls on this planet. 3 billion of them are unreached people groups. 3 billion, ladies and gentlemen. That's America times 10, every citizen. 1.6 billion are completely unevangelized. No gospel, no Bible. In the last 40 years, 1 billion people have died, Brother Holy, without ever hearing the name Jesus. 2 people die every second. 105 people every minute. 6,316 people die every hour. 151,600 people die every day. And this year, 55,300,000 people will die. The vast majority of these people die without Christ. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Listen to me and listen well. Because the local church, many by and large, have given up on missions. I'll tell you what. The command and commission of Christ stands. Amen. It stands. In 2012, Americans spent $51 billion on weight loss programs. In 2014, it is projected that Americans will spend over $50 billion on their pets. Now, please don't look cross-eyed at me. I'm not against Fifi and Fido. But I am against Fifi and Fido when we don't give a plug nickel for the souls of men and women. Amen. Only 4% of American born-again adults admitted that they tithed in 2009. 10% of their income. 4%. Now I'm thankful it's not that way here. Praise God. Why a missions conference, Pastor? Well, let me just give you a few of my reasons and then we'll get to the heart of the message. Why as a pastor do I plan and prepare and bring in missionaries? Well, number one, that more souls would be saved and that they would reach other people with the gospel. That's the heart of missions, ladies and gentlemen. You think about, go back in your Bible to Acts chapter 8 when an evangelist named Philip was holding a crusade and scores of people were being saved. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go up to Gaza. There's a man reading Isaiah chapter 53. He's an Ethiopian, a black man. And you know what? We find there, Philip comes up to him and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he, the Ethiopian, gives our clarion call. How can I accept some man should guide me? That's what we are supposed to be, some man to guide another, some woman to guide another. And he, the Bible said, he opened up the scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And we know, at least in the King James Version, Brother Tom, we know he got saved. You read the NIV and you're not quite sure. You know why? Because there's a big important verse missing. He came to the water and he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Amen. He brought him down to the water and baptized him. And history tells us that he brought the gospel to Africa. So it's my desire that more souls would be saved and that they would reach others. Secondly, we have a mission conference, and we'll get into this week, and I hope in this message, to properly adjust our priorities. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we need to sometimes bang our little worldly tent pegs up and get back to what's important. What's important, Pastor, that from the time I start this message to the time I finish, 60 people will die and go out into eternity. And in each one of these flag-waving countries, people are dying without the gospel. And we need to adjust our priorities, ladies and gentlemen. We need to adjust our priorities. We need to catch a burden of the missionaries. Missionaries come and they pour out their hearts. And I'm just not against missionaries at all saying, "Please support me. Please support me. Please support me. I'm trying to get to the field. Please support me. They're waiting for us to get there. Please support me." I think that another reason we have a missions conference is that God would possibly call one of us to the mission field. You know, getting called to the mission field is not exclusive to 10-year-old boys. Amen, Brother Korea? Amen. God calls adults to the mission field. You say, "Well, he'd never call me." Well, I think with an attitude like that, he probably won't. He's calling, but your line's busy. Amen. He may call one of us. Right here in this week, he may call one of us to possibly support the missionaries that come. That's why we have a missions conference. To burden us, God's people, for reaching the lost. I remember the first missions conference I did in 2010 here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Does anybody remember what the theme was? Keeping the home fires burning. Do you know why? Because the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot in good conscience ask our missionaries to go across the world if we're not willing to go across the street. Yeah, right. Amen? Carrying gospel tracts, saturating this area, sharing Christ with our neighbors and co-workers. The missions conference burdens us for reaching the lost. We have a missions conference to increase our outreach. To increase our outreach. To get in another country that we're not currently in right now as a church. To not only increase our outreach, but to increase our amount of missions givers. I don't know. I don't keep track. God knows. This is His church. Amen. I know there are some pastors that keep track of the giving and whatnot. But I'll tell you what I always ask Miss Kim after missions conference. Do we have more missions givers? I don't care if it's a dollar. More people getting burdened for missions. I started 18 years ago at $5 a week. $5 a week. And God has increased my faith. And some of you could testify all day how God increased your faith. So to increase the amount of missions givers. To increase the amount that we give to missions. And really, that fruit would abound to our account. That fruit would have been. Every time a missionary comes in, I say, "Oh, Lord, help us to be able to support this." Why? So that, listen, Miss Margie Becker, you'd be reaching people in Mongolia. And Brother Ron Phelps, you'd be reaching people in China. And Miss June DeCamp, you'd be reaching people in Papua New Guinea. And each one of us would have a part in missions. Our text today is Philippians chapter 1. And Philippians is the epistle of joy. Kind of a strange epistle considering it was written from a Roman prison. Dr. Falwell said, "Joy is an experience that rises above the circumstance of this earthly life. Joy is not based on the occurrences of this daily life. Paul's comfort was found in Christ, not in the happenings of this life, whether good or bad. Listen, we could be sad and still have joy. Amen. Say, how is that possible? Only through Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we deal with in the first 11 verses, joy for believers. Found in verses 3 and 5, you look there, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with what, folks? Joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Then, Paul deals with not only joy for believers, but joy in the gospel. And he talks about there how some would preach the gospel of strife and some were hoping to add to his misery that he was in prison. And he says in verse 18, what a Christ-like spirit, Brother Jeff, amen. He says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether the gospel, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. Why? Because the name of Jesus is getting out there. Paul said this, it's not about me. It's about Him and getting the gospel to people that need Him. So joy for believers, joy in the gospel. Verses 20 through 26, joy in life or death. What does he say? Culminating verse in Philippians. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think of our precious widows and widowers. You know what you want to be? You want to be with the one you loved all those years. But you know what? To abide in the flesh is more needful for us. Amen. Amen? For us. But you know what? Hey, if you're the Apostle Paul and you're here in prison and you're hearing them sharpen the axe, you say, hey, for me to live is Christ, but to die, that's not bad. I get to go to heaven. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So we have joy in life or death. And then in the last four verses, verses 27 through 30, we see joy in our manner of life. Look at verse 27. Ladies and gentlemen, church, we should live our lives with the purpose of getting the gospel to people. We should live our lives with the purpose of getting the gospel. I'll never forget one of our instructors in Bible college. He talked about the Apostle Paul and how when he came to town and he would come into town and he'd always seek out two places. He would seek out first the synagogue because he was heading there first. And then he'd say, where's the local jail because I'll be heading there next. And Paul was the type of person, Brother George, if he lived today, he would go to the grocery store to go soul winning, and while he was there, he'd get some groceries. He'd go to the gas station to share the gospel, and while he was there, he'd pump a few gallons of gas. You understand what I mean? His purpose, his manner of life, this church at Philippi, he says there in verse 27, only let your conversation or your manner of living, the way you live your life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Carrying gospel tracts, being soul conscious. Second thing is we should stand fast together and work together to get the gospel to people. That is, ladies and gentlemen, if you pray for the people of this church, you are helping get the gospel out. If you pay your tithes, help us print gospel tracts, you are helping get the gospel out. If you come out on Saturday, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit, you are helping get the gospel out. We're to stand fast. Listen, we're not just to stand fast against gay marriage. And listen, I'm for standing fast against gay marriage. And I'm for standing fast against immorality and all those amen kind of sermons. But we're to stand fast in getting the gospel to people. Because you know what? Us being against gay marriage, if somebody comes into this church and they come in and they're just against gay marriage and they die and go to hell, it didn't do them any good. It's the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, that changes people's lives. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. By the way, verse 28 says, we should not be fearful of our enemies. Paul said this to a church that was under Rome's thumb. That were any of those members of that church or the bishops and deacons could have been crucified at any moment. He said to them, don't be afraid of your enemies, which is an evident token of perdition to them. Verse 29, we start our relationship with Christ by believing. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but that's where we start, ladies and gentlemen. We start our relationship with Jesus by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Been almost 20 years for me. Some of you, it's just been 6 months or a year. Others of you, it's been 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years since you've been walking. You started by believing. That's where we lay the foundation. But then the text there, it says that we should be willing to suffer. And really those last three words in verse 29 is the crux of the message, the crux of the conference this week. Look at it there in verse 29. For His sake. Ladies and gentlemen, we should live our lives for His sake.
Amen.
Pastor, why do we have a missions conference? For His sake. Pastor, we're busy. For His sake. Pastor, we're trying to raise our families. For His sake. We're planning our vacations for His sake. We're trying to earn a living for His sake. We're taking care of our investments for His sake. We're stewarding our properties and finances for His sake. But we already give the tithe through the church, Pastor, for His sake. But you mean to come every night this week for His sake? Amen. Why are you pleading with us to come out when there's so much to do around the house for His sake? What's the big deal about missions? For His sake. For His sake. Why? For His sake. Why do we want more souls to be saved, Pastor? For His sake. Why do we want to properly adjust our priorities? For His sake. Why do we want to catch the burden of these missionaries? For His sake. Why would we want God to call one of our own? For His sake. And on and on and on we could go. The message today is entitled, For His Sake. For His sake. May I plead with you this week during missions conference that you would live your life not for what you want, not for your comfort, not for your pleasure, not for just what makes you happy or your wife happy or your husband happy, not just for what this preacher wants, but that you would truly live your life for His sake. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, says, seek those things which are above. Do you know the only thing you can take to heaven with you are souls? It's the only thing. So you would do well in your life to make your life about reaching people with the gospel. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not of the earth. Let me just give you a few points this morning and we'll be done. Number one, would you share Christ for His sake? Would you share Christ for His sake? The Great Commission is the heart of missions. We read it in Acts chapter 1. Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And listen to this. It's a good statement. Every creature needs a preacher. Every creature needs a preacher. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, but you can give the gospel to somebody. Amen. And one of the easiest things to excuse ourselves from because of our various duties of life, and you're a husband and a father, and you've got to take care of your property and earn a living and all those things, or you're a mom and a mother and a wife, and you have many, many things. One of the easiest things to excuse ourselves from is witnessing to others. But ladies and gentlemen, God has not excused us from that duty. Why are billions of people dying without Christ? I'll tell you why. Because the church as a whole is not witnessing. We're working, we're reading our Bibles, we're standing for God, but we're not witnessing. Ladies and gentlemen, Would you share Christ? For His sake. For His sake. Every one of us is the product of somebody who got burdened to share Christ. I was a long-haired rock and roller in the fall of 1994. Going to work, I was a warehouse manager at a place called Turbine Engine Services, and would go out and party with the guys on Friday. We'd all kick back, have a few beers on Friday night, and there was one fella that didn't come with us. He was a mechanic, and all the guys were engine mechanics, wrench turners, and there was one guy that didn't go with us. He was gigantic, 6'6", 330 pounds. He was a human eclipse. And his name was Bob Barnes. And he was a Christian. And he was the right kind of Christian. Because what's a Christian doing with a whole bunch of guys drinking beer anyway?
Right.
He was the right kind of Christian. I don't do that. But I'll tell you what else. He wasn't just somebody who separated. He was somebody who was interested in the souls of men and women. And what he saw before him was a young man who needed Jesus Christ. We're taking a trip one day. I was driving the van, and Bob had to pick up a big rig. We had an engine that needed to be picked up, and he had a Class A CDL. And my boss told me, drive Bob up to Springfield, from Windsor Locks to Springfield, about a half an hour drive there from Connecticut to Massachusetts. And I was a captive audience. And Brother McGee, he said to me, you know those bands that you listen to, they all portray hell as a big party. But it's not true. He said, hell is a place of eternal torment, and you don't want to go there. Didn't take me down the Romans Road, folks. Didn't have me bow my head, thankfully, because I was driving. But I'll tell you what he did. He shared Christ for His sake. For His sake. Not for Bob's sake. You know what Bob has gotten from me because he shared Christ with me? A few letters. That's about it. He hasn't gotten any money. He hasn't gotten anything from me. But you know, when you do it for His sake, He gets the glory. I think Pastor Eric Tharp, who was preaching the day I got saved, and each one of us could go back in our own life. Who is it for you? Who could you look back and say, boy, this person, as Brother Correa taught about in Sunday school, had compassion on me. Now, here's the brass tacks question. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be that person for somebody else? Are you going to be that person that shares Christ? I think of different people over the years through work and neighbors and things like that. And you could do, and I know, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, Satan fights us at every corner about reaching and winning people to Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get past the fear. We've got to get past the pride. We've got to get past the excuses and get back to sharing Christ with the lost world that so desperately needs Him. Brother Correa talked about it in the parable of the Good Samaritan, about that man that's half dead. Listen, the world around us is all dead. Amen. And they need life in Jesus Christ. Men and women are lost and dying, and it's our responsibility to help them into the lifeboat. And all God's people said, amen. Would you share Christ for His sake? Secondly, would you surrender for His sake? Would you surrender? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. 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 God is still holy. And He still expects us to live holy. Do we slip up from time to time? And all God's people said. And thank God there's forgiveness at the cross. But He wants us to desire to live holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think of that, those last words, our reasonable service. Just if you would, in considering this matter of surrendering for His sake. And most people say, I'm not going to surrender because God's going to call me to Africa. I know it's not God's will for everybody to go to Africa. You know why? He wants people here. He wants people to send. Okay? And by the way, don't worry about it. Later on in the verse, it talks about how God's will is good and acceptable. It'll be acceptable wherever He sends you. But most people, they don't surrender. I don't want God to call me to Africa. I don't know if I could deal with the spiders and the bugs and all these other things. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, could we come back to this, which is your reasonable service? Think of what Jesus endured for you. Think of what He endured for me. Brother Jackson, I think about the spitting. Is there anything more repulsive than spitting? I played soccer for years. I've mentioned this before. Guys would do anything to try to get inside of another guy's head. Now, you can't do it anymore because of the pathogens and all those things. But I remember literally seeing guys with spit hanging off their nose. Another guy would try to get in their head. They spit at our Savior. Let me put it a different way. They spit at Him as our sin bearer. They scourged Him. They mocked Him. They laughed at Him. The crown of thorns, the cat of nine tails, the nails. All that He endured, all the shame, the pain, and yet He offers free salvation and eternal life to all. What a Savior.
Amen.
Alfred B. Smith, the compiler of our hymnal, Living Hymns, also wrote many songs. And one of my personal favorite songs that he wrote is called I Give You Freedom. Anybody know that song? The Whippoorwill Song. Anybody know that song? Goes like this. I set the boundaries of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains from the distant past, molded a man from the miry clay, breathed in him life, but he went astray. Then part of the chorus goes like this. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills. But I give you freedom to use your own will. Says, I hold the waters in my mighty hand. Spread out the heavens with a single span. Make all creation tremble at my voice. But my own children come to me by choice. Even the oxen knows the master's stall, and the sheep will recognize the shepherd's call. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I could demand your love. I own you twice by creation and redemption. Amen?
Amen.
But only willing love is worth the price. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills. But give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom. Is it yes or no? Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get back to surrendering to God. We have got to get back to presenting ourselves and saying, God, you can have my life. You say, Pastor, I'm 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years old. Listen to me. Listen to me. God can do amazing things with us when we surrender to Him. I go back in my own life when God was dealing with me to be a preacher, and I promise you, if you knew me back then, you would have thought the last thing in the world that I ever would have been was a preacher. I enjoyed helping. I was an Awana leader. I was a Sunday school teacher with the little kids, but that's a whole lot different than standing up there. Amen? And I was working a job and my wife was working and we were content and God was dealing with me. Please surrender. Please surrender. Please surrender. Dealing with me to be a preacher. And I want to talk about, you think Satan fights you on witnessing? Boy, he really fights us on surrendering. Surrendering. What if I had said no, Brother Horsch? I wouldn't be here today. What if Bob and Judy Hayton said no to surrender? They wouldn't be our missionaries to Zambia. What if Eric and Katie Graham had said no? What if Elias Correa had said no? What if Jonathan McClure had said no? And on and on and on we could go. Ladies and gentlemen, what if you said no years ago when God said give to missions? People wouldn't be saved in China and in South Africa and Brazil and all these other countries that you've been able to support over the years. Mark this statement if you would. Much of our Christian life is a series of surrenders. It's a series of surrenders. He certainly deserves our surrender. After all, He gave us life eternal. Should we not give back Him our temporal life? Share Christ for His sake, would you? Would you surrender for His sake? Would you, number three, show up for His sake? Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another. To be considerate of each other, that to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see a day approaching. We had our missions conference a couple years back, and our theme was so much the more. Why a service every night? Why? Because the world's getting darker, and you know what we're supposed to be? So much the more, Christians. So much the more meeting together. And ladies and gentlemen, there is an apathy toward attending church and commitment by God's people in this 21st century that I have not seen in my almost 20 years of being saved. When I first got saved, I wanted to be at church in every service. I remember what it was to be rescued, Brother Hendershot, from the clutches of the devil. And I lived hard for Satan. And I said, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be there on Wednesday night. I'm going to be there in Sunday school. I'm going to be there on Sunday night. And you know why? Because my preacher said you ought to be in church every time the door squeaked. Amen. I figured he knew what he was talking about. Amen. Now, because, and I appreciate Brother Steve Sammons a while back preached a message on the curse of convenience Christianity. That's what we live in today. Everything has to be convenient. And so, quote unquote, churches just have one service a week, the hour of power, 11 to 12, and make sure you're done by 12, preacher. Because we got to be out to dinner. And we've got veteran Christians laying out of Sunday school. Listen to me. Veteran Christians should not lay out of Sunday school. Somebody say, veteran Christians ought to be in Sunday school. Amen? Unless we can't learn anything anymore. Which of course we can. Veteran Christians staying away from Sunday night. Well, I'm just tired. Listen, we're all tired. Amen? But we're still supposed to and commanded to gather together. Staying away from prayer meeting. Mr. Jordan always tells me, preacher, I'm so glad we have prayer meeting. I can tell you, from a pastor's standpoint, why a lot of pastors cancel prayer meeting. Because people don't come. Because people don't... Listen... You know why we ought to come to prayer meeting? Why we ought to come to Sunday school? Why we ought to come Sunday morning? Why we ought to come Sunday night? Tomorrow, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night? For His sake. For His sake. Not just for my sake, though, praise God. Aren't you glad for the blessing you get from prayer meeting and Sunday school and all those things? I sure am. But for His sake. Seldom found during week-long meetings, soul-winning. Pastors shouldn't have to beg and plead and prime God's people to attend God's house. We ought to show up for His sake. Hey, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Number four, Would you share Christ for His sake? Would you surrender for His sake? Would you show up for His sake? Would you serve for His sake? Some of you do. I know you do. Play that piano. Teach that Sunday school class. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are you using your gifts? I was told last week that we have someone amongst us that can sing. And I kidded with him. I said, hey, I got you now. Amen. You're on the hook now. I'm turning your name into Brother Leonard. Amen. Why? Oh, because God gifted you in that area to be a blessing to His people, to move people for His sake. For His sake. Perhaps you're thinking, well, what can I do? I'll tell you this. Every Christian needs to have a ministry within the local church. Every Christian needs to have a ministry within the local church. You say, well, I'm not good with reaching people and talking. Listen, forgive me. I don't often draw attention to things. But those blinds right over there are driving me crazy. Anybody else? Amen. Look at that thing. This looks like a prison riot over there. Look at those blinds turned sideways and four ways and five ways and 12 ways. And listen, you may be good about fixing things. Please come see me. Amen. There's all kinds of things to do. There's all kinds of things. We were mentioning to Brother Curry. God bless him. And I know all these signs were handmade years ago, but some of them look very old. Amen? And you say, I'm good at that. I could do that. There's all kinds of things to be done. Will you serve for His sake? I think of our Mother's Day plan coming up here. Every man serving every lady. Not for a pat on the back. For His sake. For His sake. I think about when we had our scripture reading, and I know Brother Ed, you came up here and read the scripture, and Brother Ed, you were nervous, weren't you, man? He came up here, he was like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, man. I could see him back there. I said, now you know what I have to deal with, amen? But he did it for His sake. For His sake. Oh, listen. By the way, we're getting ready to divide our super church downstairs into two churches. You know what we need? Servants. But we don't just need servants. We need those that'll do it for His sake. For His sake. Serve for His sake. Show up for His sake. Surrender for His sake. Share Christ for His sake. Oh, this one, and I can't stay long here, but I'll just hit it and go. Are you willing to sacrifice for His sake? You know, we've got a beautiful facility. Amen. Somebody say amen. And Mrs. B, thank you for keeping it so clean. We appreciate that. Mrs. B works hard, and praise God, we got her the vacuum of her dreams. Amen. That's an inside joke. Amen. But sometimes when you have the beautiful facility and it's all paid off, and glory to God it is. Amen. Amen. Some people, we can lose the spirit of sacrifice. The church, you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches of Macedonia, in their poverty, they gave unto the Apostle Paul. I'm reminded of my home church. My pastor, like many pastors in New England, worked a job for years and years, and he was cleaning floors at the Holyoke Mall, one of those big cleaners, big, like a Jackson Crossing, but huge, three floors. And a man came up to him. He was just starting. They had just finished the new building. They built the building in 6 days, Brother Lawley, and had church on the 7th in December. Boy, that was a cold service. Had those big heaters blowing, almost burnt the building down. And he was here scrubbing the floors, and this guy came up to him and said, aren't you the Reverend Tharp? He said, yes, I am. And he said, like he always does, he pulled the gospel track out. He's like, I'd like to invite you to our church. And at the time, the church was raising money and having special Sundays. They had blind Sunday and pew Sunday and chair Sunday. And the guy said, I've been to your church. He said, oh, you have? When'd you come? He said, I was there on toilet Sunday. Sacrifice. Somebody sacrificed. By the way, you ought to sometime go down to these pews. See how somebody purchase that pew, that piano, that, and some of you remember those days. You remember that. Listen, sacrifice doesn't have to go away just because we don't need a building. You want to sacrifice to something? Sacrifice to missions. Giving the gospel to people, helping people, sacrifice for not for our sake. I think of the stories that I used to hear about Brother Tuttle, who he being dead yet speaketh. Brother Jones used to tell me that every time Brother Tuttle would see him, he'd have $100 bill in his hand, and he'd give it to him. And Brother Jones always said, "Brother Tut, you don't have to do that." And he said, "No, I want to." And listen, some of you folks knew the Tuttles well, and you know they live meagerly. They live meagerly. They sacrificed for him, for his sake. Not for our sake, not for the glory that we can get, not for the pat on the back. Number six, not only sacrifice, but would you send for his sake? Would you send missionaries for his sake? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be..." How shall they call on him whom they have not heard, and how they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Every Christian is supposed to be involved in missions. Here we go. Every Christian is supposed to be involved in missions. And here's how you can be involved. One of two ways. You can either be a goer or a giver. You can either be a sender or a sent one. Brother Korea is a goer. You know what we're supposed to be? Givers, to get him there. Remember the story of David? And he talked about how he sent the men out to war. And then there was a certain group of men that stuck by the stuff. And the men of war came back and had the spoils of victory. And they came and David said, "All right, divvy it up." And they said, "What? They weren't out there fighting the battle with us. I mean, we were there where the metal meets the meat." David said, "No, no, no. There's no difference. They did their duty. You did your duty." Do you know when the roll call of heaven is called, there will be great honor to the missionary. Amen. But I'm going to tell you who else gets honored. The person that sat in their place, did their job, worked hard, sent missionaries. We get rewarded. I think of that great old song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." "Look around you, my child, for great is your reward." The last thing is right in the text, and it says there, "Would you be willing to suffer for his sake?" By the way, there's a reason why this is my last point, because I think if we're not willing to share Christ or surrender or show up for church or serve or sacrifice or send, then it's doubtful we would be willing to suffer for his sake. But we certainly should be willing, and all God's people said. Amen. We could consider our Savior. We could consider the martyrs. Boy, the hit. If you've never read The Trail of Blood, you should read it. You should read it. The history of the Baptist Church through the years and the persecution and the fact that this Bible that we have is literally, literally written in the blood of the martyrs. You've got to think about missionaries today that are on the field, that are literally suffering for Christ. And you know what? We could suffer a bit. Amen. Not for ours. Not so we could say, "I'm suffering for Jesus." I kid with a friend of mine. He pastors in Kauai. I always say, "Hey, listen, somebody's got to suffer for Jesus, brother." He's in Hawaii. Amen. But by the way, it's a hard field. Everybody's on vacation. Nobody wants to commit or do anything for God. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be willing to suffer for his sake. Did he not suffer for us, ladies and gentlemen? This week, as we come to missions, as we come to missions conference, even as you consider your card, would this card not be about you, but would it be for his sake? For his sake. We share Christ. We surrender. We show up. We serve, sacrifice, send, and suffer. Why? Because only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last for His sake. Father, thank You.